You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
What a world! Welcome to another episode of The Ocho, presented to you in partnership, as always, with SB Nation's blogging, theboys.com. My name, RJ Ochoa. You know me, of course, from BTB, and from writers, your humble host, on to The Ocho. It is Thursday, the third day, January 26th, 2023. We hope all is well wherever you are. We hope you're happy, safe, healthy. And before we continue, I would like to remind you that The Ocho is presented to you by Righteous Felon Craft Jerky, the jerky that helps fuel your Dallas Cowboys. That is correct. Righteous Felon Jerky and Biltong are available for Cowboys players at the Ford Center training facility. Each 2-ounce bag of jerky has 16 to 20 grams of protein, Biltong 32, and each meat stick appropriately has 8 grams of protein. If it's good enough for the Cowboys, it has got to be good enough for you as well. Righteous Felon uses locally sourced, all-natural black Angus beef and prides itself on superior quality, revolutionary branding, and unique flavors that go beyond the stereotypical jerky offering. Head to RighteousFelon.com and use discount code BTB15 at checkout to get 15% off of your order. That is RighteousFelon.com, discount code BTB15 for 15% off of your order. It sucks, all right? It sucks. The Dallas Cowboys lost. Their season is over. We now have to deal with that reality. We have no Cowboys football for a very long time. We're not going anywhere here at Blogging the Boys. We get that question every year. We'll still have podcasts every day. We'll still have shows. We'll still have videos. So make sure you subscribe here to the podcast network and subscribe to the YouTube channel, please. I talked about this on the postgame, working on setting up some sort of like, you know, franchise mode that we can kind of have some sort of tie to. I think that would be fun. So we'll see how the offseason, you know, starts to unfold for the Cowboys. We've seen a number of different things already. The report from the Dallas Morning News that Zeke Elliott's wanted to take a pay cut. Kellen Moore and Dan Quinn, obviously, doing their interviews. Maybe one of them is going to wind up being a head coach. Maybe they are already a head coach by the time you're listening to this, because that's how things happen. For what it's worth, at the moment, it is 3:10 p.m. Central Standard Time on Wednesday, January 25th for me. It sucks. Like, you've got to admit that to yourself, right? If you're trying to find some sort of silver lining, there isn't one. The fact that the season is over, the fact that the drought continues, the fact that the Cowboys have gone another year without even appearing, let alone winning the game beyond the NFC Championship game, is very, very frustrating. And I've sort of been thinking, like we all have, over the course of the last few days about new realities, right? Because some of these things are the same. Some of these things are things we've experienced before. Again, the drought and the memes and the jokes and the whatevers. And I'm not going to say that Dak Prescott doubt or debate is a new thing, but I feel a new way. And I'm not going to do the, like, I supported Dak and I don't support him anymore type thing. Like, I know there's a little, you know, some pivots happening and stuff and whatever. People are allowed to feel the way they want to feel. The new thing I feel is there's nowhere for Dak to hide. And I don't say that to imply that you know, anything before this has been an excuse, right? Like, oh, well, we've been able to, you know, kind of lie or whatever. Like, I think there have been legitimate and viable things to look at as, you know, things that were the main culprits, the main issues for Cowboys teams falling short in the past. And I'm not going to sit here and say that Dak was the reason the Cowboys fell short as a team across the season. I think he was the reason on Sunday against San Francisco. There's no doubt about that. But because of that, and because that was the final game, and because of the narrative and the power of it all, that is going to be, you know, kind of a storyline that is driven really hard over the next, I don't know, 6 to 8 months. And I know that sounds really, really frustrating when you say it out loud right now. But I don't know how this changes. And again, you know, I say that understanding the simplicities of that, right? Like, it changes if the Cowboys show up next season to win the Super Bowl, but there's nowhere to hide. Like, the Dak discourse is a thing now. And again, it has always been a thing, but it is a different thing. I do feel that way. And it, maybe I'm not, you know, describing it or doing a great job of kind of painting the picture that I'm seeing in my mind, which is why I brought in a great friend of mine, Justice Mosqueda, somebody I work with. We had him here on the show the week of Cowboys Packers because Justice works at Acme Packing Company, our website that covers the Green Bay Packers. And so the reason I had Justice on, I know you might be thinking like, hey, why'd you have the Packers guy on to talk about Dak? There are a handful of people on a national level, and Justice does work for us on a national level, people who don't live in Cowboy land the way you and I do. There are people removed emotionally, at least, from all of this that do believe in Dak Prescott, that believe him to be one of the better young, I don't know that you can say young anymore, right? Like, it's such a young man's game, they believe him to be one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. And you can define one of the best however you want. I'm not saying he's top five. I'm not putting out a number. I'm not starting that argument here today. He is one of the top tier. He's a quarterback that you would not be disappointed to have, I guess, is maybe the best way to put it. Justice is somebody who believes that. So I just kind of wanted to talk this out with him. Justice, obviously, in rooting for the Packers, you know, has kept tabs on Mike McCarthy over the last 3 years. And so I thought his opinion would be very, very valuable. So without further ado, let's go ahead and get to it. You can watch our conversation, by the way, on the Blog and the Boys YouTube channel as well. We have had a lot of things happening over there this week. Like I said, just because it's the offseason does not mean that the content stops for us. So make sure you keep tabs on everything. But Justice Mosqueda of Acme, goodness gracious, of Acme Packing Company joins me next right here on The Ocho. Very pleased now to be joined by the one, the only, the internationally famous. There's James Bond, and then there's Justice Mosqueda from SB Nation's Acme Packing Company. That really is an underselling way of kind of telling people who you are, Justice. You were here ahead of the Cowboys-Packers game a few months ago now, but you really are, I think, the most, like, most immersed person I have ever encountered in my job in football world. Like, you have footprints in all sectors of football, it feels like.
I mean, I like it. I love it. I breathe it. Yeah, I worked in personnel for a little bit, worked in media, did the draft stuff, have gone big into teams, big into schemes of coach. So, yeah, got a little feeler in a little bit of everything, I guess.
Well, so it's for that reason that so when you joined SB Nation and we officially became coworkers, I was pumped because I was like, well, that Justice dude, like he knows what he's talking about, right? And so, like, you know, we become a little bit more chummy, hanging around the, like, virtual water cooler, so to speak. And you, unbeknownst to me, I find out, are a Dak guy, right? Like, there are so few people that aren't connected to the Cowboys that believe in Dak Prescott. I'm not saying they don't exist, but you know better than me. You are a minority as far as non-Cowboys people that believe him to be a functional, very good quarterback. In fact, I saw you tweet at Ben Baldwin when he quoted the Dan Orlovsky power rankings. I don't want to put words in your mouth, but you effectively said that Dak and Joe Burrow were the same quarterback, right?
They're very similar. Okay. They're extremely similar. I mean, that's my comparison for Burrow coming out was Dak. So I don't know if I'm biased in that way, but you watch the way that they operate from, like, not even necessarily from the gun, but like from empty, they can run all the protection, stuff like that. I understand there's physical limitations, right? Like, sure, these guys aren't, they're not Joe Burrow. They're not, or not Josh Allen. They're not, you know, Patrick Mahomes, but, you know, as far as efficient quarterbacks, I sent you that stat from Next Gen Stats and you were like, this is my personal hell. But Next Gen Stats had a, so the number one quarterback in the league in terms of positive EPA this season, from like a percentage standpoint, Dak Prescott at 52%. That's the same as Patrick Mahomes. And then right after them, it's Jimmy Garoppolo with the Kyle Shanahan training wheels. And then Josh Allen at 49%. So, you know, in terms of positive plays, like, Dak's going to get you on base a whole lot. And, you know, there's a lot to be said about that.
That's a really great way to put it, though, is he's going to get on base. And, like, I don't even think he's, like, you know, he's not just, like, going to hit three singles, but he's going to go 3 for 4 with, like, two doubles and a single. You know what I mean? But then, like, you know, at the end of the game, it's going to be like, well, he didn't hit any home runs. He didn't have any RBIs. You know what I'm saying? And so, like, that's where the shortcoming is. Obviously, this is a really delicate time for Cowboys fans, season ending a few days ago. And I think even you and your Dak support would admit that a lot of that, if not most of it, was on him. He did not play a great game.
Right.
And that's okay, right? Like, multiple things could be, it's not
okay. The game before, he was lights out. Like, no. I don't understand, like, how we forget this. Like, I understand one game sample size. It sucks to lose at the end of the season. Someone's got to be blamed. I'd still continue betting on Dak, though. Like, so then I understand the interceptions, but
whatever. be that guy. Like, where do you rank him? Like if you have to tier them, you have to rank them, like, add whatever qualifier you want. Cause this is what the conversation, I don't know if you saw this, like, people are now like, oh, I would take Brock Purdy over Dak. I would take, I mean, good, you know, the discourse, Lord, that comes out of
it. No more with the Brock Purdy. Enough. I can't believe this. I saw him have, like, statistically, like, it's something like the third best playoff game in the history of the NFL. He didn't make any throws, and he missed a couple of them. Like, I'm done. The Kyle Shanahan training wheels quarterbacks, they're not real. Imagine Dak with Kyle Shanahan. It'd be insane.
It would be insane. But, like, but to that point, like, imagine Kirk Cousins with Kyle Shanahan. I know you love Kirk, right, but, like, that would be elite too. You know what I mean? Like the training wheels are a very, very real thing. So, okay, like, you've worked personnel, you've done all sorts of football jobs, like we've said, you've got to build a team, like, the same kind of general cookie cutter question. You're taking Mahomes over Dak, you're taking Burrow over Dak, I imagine. Where else, like, where does the line end for you?
Herbert, Lamar,
still Lamar truther. I'm with you, but keep going.
I'm a Lamar truther. I will be that guy. Josh Allen, let me know if Matthew Stafford is healthy.
Wow, so, like, then, you're kind of alone on that. I'm not riding the Stafford.
I thought here. Stafford, what he did last year in the pocket was insane.
People are gonna say, like, no Jalen Hurts. That's the question you're gonna go.
I think I would still go Dak right now.
Why?
I know that's unpopular, but,
well, like why? Just... Like, he's on Twitter at Jumosk. We talked about how you would pronounce that. Jumosq. You can go Ju, whatever you want. But why? Like, what is, like, explain the why. That's because this gets caught up into, like, he led the league in interceptions, he missed five games, blah, blah, blah. Like, all this stuff. How come nobody's talking about Josh Allen this way? Like, these are the things that Cowboys fans are hearing and saying to one another.
So with Hurts, I think he is just really helped out with that offensive line and those skill players. When you look at their success numbers in the running game, it's hilarious how far ahead of everyone else in the league they are. And what you can do in the passing game when you're that good at running the ball, in part because he can run the option and they're willing to do that with him, and they're willing to just say, oh, fourth and one, we'll just have a tight end push him across the line from under center. Like, I understand all those things and how it correlates with him being the quarterback. But I think if you put Dak in the same spot, he would have similar numbers, I guess. That's the toughest thing is, you know, looking at the turmoil on the offensive line for the Dallas Cowboys, looking at the fact that Dak is in and out of the lineup. He's been hurt the past couple years, right, obviously. Looking at the skill guys, right, like, I understand, like, the best skill guy is probably Tony Pollard, and he's not even getting a full share of the snaps, and there's all those arguments about that, and CD's kind of like the one wide receiver. I thought Gallup had a really disappointing year this year. I don't know if Cowboys fans are feeling the same way. I just feel like there's definitely a better world for Dak Prescott than the situation that he's in Dallas right now, which
– so. I agree with you. And everything you said, like, I wouldn't say you're tugging, but, like, all these threads are already out. You know what I mean? So you're just, like, kind of kicking the loose threads, like, they have all the slack in the world already. You mentioned the EPA stat that you sent me. I didn't send this to you. I don't know if you saw it. Austin Gale tweeted it on Wednesday, the day we're recording it. Do you know what I'm talking about?
No.
Okay, I'm going to slack this to you while I'm explaining it. People are kind of coming for Michael Gallup right now, and that's a really unfortunate thing. I think the Cowboys set him up a little bit poorly, right? Like, hey, come back, bounce back from your torn ACL, like, be the guy. And we sit here and we say, like, well, they traded away Amari Cooper. And, like, it's not just that they traded away Amari Cooper. It's that, okay, fine, you traded away Amari, and you did not supplement that at all. Like, the plan to fill the void was Michael Gallup.
I mean, I remember you on draft weekend. I was like, Tyler Smith is a pretty solid offensive lineman. And you're like, we needed a receiver.
it worked out.
We needed a receiver.
And I look, I will eat all the Tyler Smith crow. Like, and you know, now the Cowboys have a left tackle for a decade, seemingly, right? Like, so, like, that is a very nice world to live in, and it'll be awesome to get Terrence Steele back. Like, that is – the arrow's pointing up there. But they're the only way they – everybody – after the first round wide receiver didn't happen, everybody kind of pivoted to wanting George Pickens. Like, that was the name, like, go get George Pickens. Well, turns out, kind of a good football player. But the Cowboys took Jalen Tolbert in the third round, did nothing. And the only time Jalen Tolbert actually did anything was against your Packers when he had the illegal formation and complained about it and blamed the refs, which was really, really frustrating. But so the plan – to fill the void left by Amari Cooper was CD would blossom, which he did, but then nobody filled the CD role like that, like from last year. You get what I'm saying? And Michael Gallup didn't do it. James Washington, the first free agent signing of the offseason, didn't do it. Jalen Tolbert didn't do it. If you look at what I sent you, the of all Dallas Cowboys pass catchers, the second most positive EPA generated by any of them was T.Y. Hilton, who didn't join the team until December. That's stupid when you say it out loud.
Yeah. I mean, you watch their offense and it's pretty clear CD's the guy, and he's kind of the only dude that you have to kind of game plan around. I mean, I know there's probably going to be Dalton Schultz discourse from here until free agency with you guys, right?
Everybody's out. Like, there's no like Dalton Schultz guys, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
well, after that game, I mean, probably not. So I just think he probably needs a couple more weapons. Now with that being said, there have been a couple birdies who have told me Kellen Moore might not be so happy with how this offense is going. And he thinks and this is where it gets to playing styles, right? Because I guess the concern is, what can Dak do off of like under center play action, right? And if you think about like the Cowboys and how traditionally they've been built, right? Like, they gave Zeke that money. It's not to run from the gun or anything like that. It's not to pass catch. It's to run up the middle from under center, right? Yeah. They've traditionally had a very good offensive line-wise, so you can establish the run and then play action off of that. Now, is there a legitimate concern about Dak off of play action and how those kind of things mesh, right? Like, that's where I would hear the argument and being like, well, maybe this isn't necessarily like a one-to-one system fit. Because when I do think of Dak and what he does well, it's like being a point guard, right? Mm-hmm. And not like, I guess that's almost like a dated term now, because all these point guards in the NBA are shooting for 30 points a game and stuff. But like, being the distributor, you know, from the pocket, being able to go into empty and just like, yep, I can get us in the right play, I can get us in the right protection, and I could deliver the ball in the right spot. And that's not really, like, the under center play action stuff is like, you're trying to take shots, right? Like, that's really what you're trying to do. And that's where I'm like, yeah, I probably wouldn't use Dak. Like, that's probably not the best way to use Dak from an efficiency perspective. And I guess that's kind of where the frustration is probably setting in Dallas. So, I mean, how many – I know he's taking head coaching interviews. I don't know how many spots Kellen – candidate.
Only one. He's only had one interview, and it's with the Panthers. And he's had like, he's had like the second round of interest. Steve Wilks obviously has too. I mean, this is also like, this is the third year that Kellen's taking head coaching interviews. I mean, he's not even 35 yet. You know what I mean? Like, it's kind of nuts when you.
And he still hasn't gotten the gig. I mean, I'm sure that's why his frustration was building a little bit, because he's like, oh man, my name is cooling off.
Well, he's only been a head coach or a coach in general for 5 years. He was the quarterback's coach right away and then immediately became offensive coordinator. And so, I mean, like, you know, like, this was his fourth year. Like, it's really rare to you know, reach 4 years. In fact, I forget, we did this over the last offseason. I think that since like 2008, only 15 offensive coordinators have made it to a fourth year. And one of them, incidentally, was Scott Linehan with the Cowboys. So, like, I don't know if that's just like the Cowboys not wanting to get off the pot kind of thing.
I was looking at DC's the other day, and I was like, Joe Barry is one of like the longest tenured DCs in the NFL right now, and he's only been on the job for like 2 years. Like, Minnesota hired Ed Donatell and canned him already. Like, yeah, coordinators change like crazy. It's not a job. You're either falling or you're rising, you know, in terms of the NFL ranks.
And I think that's where like the target has always been on Dak, right? Like, I mean, Cowboys quarterback, whatever, but like, I think people are kind of tired, like bagging on Kellen or blaming Kellen. Like, I'm not saying Kellen is wonderful or completely fallible, but like, everybody's kind of exhausted of that. Like, I think like Dak has been the lowest on the priority list of like the hit list, right? Like, everybody's come for McCarthy. You know what that's like. Everybody's come for Kellen Moore. Everybody's come for the Zeke contract and, you know, blah, 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 you know, trying to build your team like the 90s. Like, there's kind of nowhere left for Dak. Like, you know what I mean? There's no like shield. And that's why I do think the discourse, aside from the fact that he had the interceptions and he played really poorly, you know, with the season on the line, but like, this is the like the offseason of reckoning for Dak, because like, they could get out of the deal, his deal, next year if they don't touch next it this year. Offseason. Yeah. So like,
that's a huge point, because, you know, I've seen people talk about, you know, a Dak potential trade even like this offseason. I'm like, that's not going to happen.
Yeah, it's not practical.
But yeah, I mean, a thing everyone should be watching is, do they touch it? Right. Because you're either creating cap space or you're trying to get out of it at this point, and you almost tell it a year ahead of time. So if they don't touch Dak's contract, I think it'll be telling what kind of a market they're in. And, oh, hey, you know, there was a quarterback who played 3 state title games in AT&T Stadium who had his ACL surgery done by Dallas's team. So they have his medicals. Like, I don't know.
I mean, yeah, like, it is crazy how quickly time goes. Not every franchise justice is fortunate enough to have a franchise quarterback for like 15 years at a time. You know what I mean? And only get 2 Super Bowls out of it, though, you know, for what it's worth.
Jordan Love's coming, baby. Don't you worry about it.
But you're right. Like, and we kind of thought that last year when they didn't touch the Zeke deal, because we kind of thought like, they might touch the Zeke deal and kick some of this down the road and lock him into 2023. But they didn't, which is why we're having that conversation right now, although there are the reports that he's open to the pay cut. But I'm with you. They did kind of build this deal to, you know, alleviate some space kind of annually. They've done that. Like, it's not a foreign thing. Like, the Cowboys have done it with like Tyron Smith and stuff. Like, it's set up that same way. But if they didn't, that would be a really tense summer. You know what I mean? If they didn't touch Dak's deal.
Yeah, I do think that they are in a spot where it's, I mean, you don't want to say pro. I mean, he's made a Pro Bowl and stuff before, but, and he's, it's funny. You look at the landscape of the NFC quarterbacks. Dak's one of the better NFC quarterbacks.
He might be number 2. Like, he really, like, even if you consider Jalen Hurts to be number 1, I'm sorry I interrupted you, but like, no offense to Aaron Rodgers, he's not there right now. Tom Brady's obviously not there right now. I mean, so like, who is the second best quarterback in the NFC if it's not Dak? Kyler? Kirk? Like, those are the options that we're talking about here.
There's not that many, which is why I think it's funny. But I do think he is not necessarily an approve it for, like, his skill set, but, like, almost, like, approve it in terms of, like, the structure of the Cowboys and, like, where they're going and the scheme fit and all that stuff. I do think it's kind of heading there, where there is a little uneasiness going into this upcoming season. I mean, it is what it is, and I do think – if push comes to shove, I do think Dallas would do things like entertain, like, hey, is Kyler happy? Right? Like, is Kyler happy in Arizona after this offseason? Like, could we try to make a play for him? Could we try to make a play for someone else? Like, I do think they would entertain it next year if, you know,
if it's more
similar
the same
numbers. Right. Yeah, exactly. And that's okay.
What do you make
if
of
you
that?
Let Dak go, you're gonna get draft picks for him, like, and stuff like that. They'll have a plan at quarterback. I don't think they'll go into the offseason blind. Like, root for your quarterback, and whatever happens, happens.
Another day is here and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What do you make of that? Because that's like, this take has been thrown out a lot. Like, look, Mahomes and Burrow, they're quarterbacks that can elevate. They can be the straw that stirs the drink. You have the quarterbacks who can carry a team, but then you have guys who you have to surround them with elite talent. Like, what a shocker, you know, that any, you know, all-time quarterback, Aaron Rodgers.
Did they not have doubt? Like, but Mahomes has, like, the best pass-catching tight end ever at Tyreek Hill.
Right.
And Burrow has a guy that he's had chemistry with since he was at LSU.
Like, the Burrow point is legitimate from the offensive line standpoint, right? Like, especially like recency bias, because it's like, holy crap, this offensive line fell apart and he's still like pulling it off, whatever. But
he does get the piss beat out of him.
Right. So like the people are putting Dak, and I'm not like, I don't have the energy to like have this fight anymore, but like they're putting him into that category. Look, he can be great if you surround him with great talent. Again, what a foreign concept that like great players are better with like great teams.
I feel like that guy is like Kirk Cousins, where you're like, he is going to crap the bed unless you give him Justin Jefferson. And I just think Dak is a different tier than he is. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. I don't believe that. I think Dak is a quality quarterback. I think if he hit the open market, he would get probably something close to like whatever Deshaun got. Like if it was like a true open market bidding. I think he's right around top like 8-10, whatever that cutoff is. But I think it's less important about like the number than like the tier. He is not in the Kirk Cousins tier. He is above that tier, which is like, you hold on to him unless you have a much better option.
Like, we mentioned Lamar, and you know how people were like, man, I know you mentioned this on the NFL show too. Like, I don't know why people were like counting his practices missed. Like, that was so strange. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
like Lamar has now missed 48 practices. Like who, when does that ever happen? But, in a similar way, the monetary value associated with Dak became like burned into people's minds. Like, so people are like, you can't pay him $40 million, $40 million for a quarterback right now.
Yeah, you can.
Yeah, no, but like that's what I'm saying. Like
Aaron Rodgers went 8-9, and the Packers are begging for him to come back on $60 million in cash just for next season. You can pay Dak $40 million; it's fine.
That's my point. Is like when that happened, people decided that $40 million was like this infinite value of money. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like Deshaun's making more than that, right? Like Josh Allen's making more than that now, right? Like the $40 million mark is cheap now. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's like when maybe it's just like the like round, nice numbers, but it was like when Matt Ryan hit $30 million a year, that became the, like, you can't pay a guy like Matt Ryan's $30 million a year became like pennies, like very quickly after.
Yeah. It's the money for quarterbacks. We got to stop thinking about it. And I know everyone is like, I know everyone does the whole thing where it's like, rookie contracts and how important that stuff is, and you know, you can build around the team, but you do the math and it's like, okay, so if we give, say, Geno Smith, right? Like Geno Smith right now might make, he's gonna hit free agency, or if he does hit free agency, he'll make what, like 25 a year. Mm-hmm. So the difference between Dak and Geno is $15 million. That's an offensive lineman now. Because it's, you know, everyone's pay is going up like crazy, right? So, well, like, what, you could have paid Elgton Jenkins? Like, is that the difference you take? Do you think the difference between Dak Prescott and Geno Smith is Elgton Jenkins? Like,
yeah.
Come on. Like, just,
I mean,
you got to get on base in the draft, and you got to have a quarterback. And those are the only two truths, you know, in the NFL, in, you know, to win a championship in the NFL, unless you're Kyle Shanahan and you can just have Brock Purdy or whoever under center.
You've done the baseball thing. Like, you are kind of Jonah Hill in Moneyball with the, like, you know, I'm like, you're paying for runs. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's who you've been. Like, that's like the, are you a Mariners fan? I think you are.
No, I'm a Dodgers fan.
How?
Julio, he's Mexican and he pitches. Okay. He said I have a good left arm and a bad left eye. So that was enough for me.
Okay, that works. But I mean, well, that's your territory. So that's why I didn't know if like the Mariners were a thing. Like, also, you kind of embody the like the energy of Mariners fans. You know what I mean? Like this, like,
hey, I do.
So
PNW, baby, can't get it out of me.
Because you do root for the Blazers. That's why I thought you were gonna like make a Dak Dame Lillard thing when you were talking about the point guards. But
no, I can't talk about the Blazers after they gave up that massive loss, that massive lead against the Lakers, and didn't score at all in the third quarter. So,
It's a tough time for, like, this is going to be a really, really tough.
I'm sure you're open wounds, dude. It's open wounds right now. I get that. But like, you guys can do a lot worse than Dak.
I think you are well suited to answer this question. and maybe even more suited than I am at this point, because I find it like if Aaron Rodgers is traded to the Jets, it will be incredible how like history has like literally repeated itself in that, you know, way, shape, or form.
Also, it would be incredible for him to play for Woody Johnson, whose money comes from Johnson & Johnson. So that'd be fun for me to check out.
You know, I will miss if Aaron Rodgers leaves. The fact that you have to like so astutely tune into the Pat McAfee show every week. I know that
every
you enjoy that.
Can't sleep in the morning. Any day could be Rodgers is coming back, or Rodgers said something, or Rodgers is on this podcast on that one. Yeah.
Okay, so where I think you're well suited. The question I think you're well suited to answer. For the first time ever in Dak's career, I now feel like he is partly weighed down by the ghosts of Cowboys past, right? Like the Packers don't have as prominent of ghosts, but like there are different kinds of ghosts, right? Like every franchise deals with it in their own way, whatever. But like I do now feel like because he came in such a different way. Like he came in, started right away, right? Like was this rookie sensation, was super cool, and the team like gravitated towards him, whatever. So it didn't feel like the dawn of the Romo era, just to compare him to at least his predecessor. But now it does feel like, and I'm sure you've seen like the memes and stuff, like he's got the same playoff record as Romo, can't get past the division around like Romo. He's got all the like very, very sort of similar resume at this point in time. And it, as of late, has felt like Rodgers is kind of fighting the like far of mystique, right? And so like it kind of feels like that's where Dak is at. I don't know if you agree. As an impartial observer, do you kind of feel like that is a thing that is now arriving and as he turns 30 this offseason?
Well, I do think it's a thing, because you guys keep bringing it up. I mean, how many times do we have to see, like, you know, before the game they were showing, what was it? They had the photos of the baby photos of all the kids, you know, at the time that the Cowboys last won their playoff game or whatever it was. And they keep bringing up the 90s, and, you know, we haven't won since the 90s. The Bears haven't won a Super Bowl in longer than that. They don't do that.
The Niners haven't. The team who just beat them haven't. That gets lost too.
Yeah, that's why I'm like, I'm sure it's like a thing now, because you guys are like manifesting it almost. You guys are playing with the Ouija board, summoning the ghosts. Wow. That's a problem.
So along those lines, we were talking before we started recording about your fashion. I noticed Dak on the plane to Tampa and the plane to San Francisco, he wore some like kind of 90s Cowboys hats, like the shark tooth.
Yes. I saw that too.
And I really thought, because he didn't just do it for one game, I really kind of thought he was like, I don't know, like manifesting or whatever, like, you know, we're putting an end to this type of thing, like sort of thing. But you're right. Like they do kind of like to live there. You know what I mean? They do sort of like embrace it. Like that's why, like, I kind of appreciated when McCarthy was like, look, the sins of the past are not on us. You know what I mean? But he was the one who did do the baby picture thing. So
it happens. Right. I'll just say you'll see the rift between Dak and maybe the coaching staff. If they start leaking stuff and you start getting the hit pieces on Dak, you'll know where it's coming from. I've been there before.
So, okay, this is my last sort of like question area. We talked Dak, you believe. So basically anybody who doesn't believe, Justice thinks you're dumb and ugly, I think.
I'm just like, okay, I'll take him. I'll take him then. There's plenty of teams wanting a Dak.
Actually,
Prescott.
Let me ask you, sir, would you trade Aaron Rodgers for Dak Prescott straight up right now?
Here's the problem. I really like Jordan Love.
In a Jordan Loveless world, if your starting quarterback can only be Rodgers or Dak.
Okay. Yeah, I would, especially considering age.
Right.
I'll take the rest of Dak's career over the next year or two of Aaron. I mean, he might retire this offseason. Good luck with that. So
I wouldn't trade the job that we have to do around Jonathan Neiman. Okay. So this is going to be year four of Mike McCarthy. Mm-hmm. You've been there. You've done it. You've seen it. You've lived it. Advice, words of wisdom, like words from afar. Like what is your perception of the Mike McCarthy era 3 years in? The Mike McCarthy era with the Cowboys, obviously.
I'm not super impressed, but I am. I mean, he has changed as a coach. He's not as like dug into his own tendencies as he used to be, right? Like the fact that he hired his buddies, right, year one, and then had to can a lot of them, right? I mean, that shows growth when, you know, he was in Green Bay. He had someone call plays for, like, half a season and was like, I'll never, ever, ever do that again. Well, yeah, we see how that works out. So, I mean, there has been growth, but I mean, at the end of the day, he's kind of like a CEO guy. So, like, you're kind of going to judge him just off of, like, the strength of his coordinator hires, right? And Dallas is always going to be willing to spend money, you know, on a coaching staff and stuff like that. So as long as you guys can find a replacement for, you know, a guy like a Dan Quinn, if he does end up leaving, like, I think you'll be happy with him. But I don't know if he elevates anything, you know, to a higher level. I think there's more room for growth at head coach than there is at quarterback. I'll say that.
I actually asked a friend of mine, who he thought ranked higher and like in their respective positions, like McCarthy relative to head coaches or Dak relative to quarterbacks. You think the answer is Dak?
I think it's Dak. Yeah.
So if you think Dak is like 8 or 9, again, like rounding here, or approximating. So you think Mike McCarthy is like fringe top 10 coaches in the NFL?
I'm going to look at a list right now.
So we would take all four of the conference teams, right? Like easily.
Yeah.
We would take McDermott. That's 5. Yeah. I think some people would take Peterson, John Harbaugh, Mike Tomlin. We're at 7.
Dan Campbell.
I'm not quite there, but I'm.
I take Dan. I take Matt LaFleur.
I can't argue against McVay. Matt LaFleur. I'm not as big of a McVay truther as a lot of people, but
come on.
Well, like I'm fine.
You're not taking McVay over McCarthy?
I didn't say that. I'm just like, I'm not fawning over McVay the way a lot of people have. To be clear, I'm not accusing you of fawning, but like, you know, the fawning exists. That's all I'm saying. I'm not going to fawn, but I'm cool taking McVay. I'm looking at my helmet.
Tomlin.
We didn't even mention Belichick.
Daboll, Belichick, McDaniel is a guy that I'd at least consider. I think that's probably where my list.
Did we mention Daboll? I don't think we mentioned Daboll.
I said Daboll. So, that's more than 10.
What about if Dan Quinn's on the list?
I think Dan Quinn is right up there with him. Right. Probably a little higher.
So if Dan Quinn's on the list, defense, then you're putting Quinn ahead of him.
Yeah.
I mean, that's interesting.
So,
I mean, I think he's a little underrated there, but I think Dak is like perfectly slotted. You know what I'm saying? Like, if we put Dak around 8 or 9, like, that feels really right. You can certainly argue McCarthy over, like, Daboll or McVay. You know what I mean? Like, some of these other people, like, whatever. He doesn't have as great of a PR team as a lot of these other people do. And you know that better than I do.
I mean, I don't know. He got a whole NFL Network thing following him for an entire year, so.
The more I look back on that, like, the more ridiculous it is. Like, especially
He said he spent a day with Pro Football Focus and now is in analytics. This was the line I used at the time. People spend more time researching their fantasy drafts than he spent with PFF.
The only like counter to that, I know you say that somewhat tongue in cheek, is like we have seen analytical principles within his style of coaching.
He's like, for sure grown.
That's what I'm saying.
He's a better coach than he was in Green Bay. 100%.
So like his actions live up to that mystique. You know what I'm saying? Like he's not flawless, but like he is not, you know, like caveman or anything like that. He does jive with that. That's interesting. I'm very interested to see what happens with Dan Quinn. In a weird way, like my last point on McCarthy, I value Kellen Moore. There's a lot of Cowboys fans who are like, get Kellen Moore out of here, I've seen enough, blah blah blah. I value him, but in a weird way, like this year 2023 has to be the year where you figure out this era of Cowboys football. You have to figure out Dak. 100%. You have to figure out McCarthy, right? Like you cannot, you know,
things gotta come together. Separate pieces. Things have to come together.
And something I've said from like maybe after everybody bagged on McCarthy for 2020, that wasn't totally his fault. Obviously, Dak got injured and stuff. But like something I said in that offseason as people were freaking out was like, you cannot let the McCarthy era end without seeing him as a play caller. Like, you know what I mean? Like you can't bring in the like guy who made his hay in the NFL on the offensive side of the ball and never let him control the offensive side of the ball. Yeah. If you did, then the whole thing was stupid. You know what I mean? Like, imagine hiring, I don't know, whoever. Like, imagine hiring Bill Walsh and, like, being like, well, Kellen Moore is your offensive coordinator, Bill Walsh. You know what I mean? Right. Like, it just wouldn't make sense. So.
Yeah. I want to ask one thing. How do you experience that final play? What's your reaction? Because they come out, funky formation, get a timeout. Me, I'm like, holy crap. We're about to see something. And then it comes out. Zeke's at center. He's ineligible. They did all that to get one more guy, one more skill guy on the field. And then it's a slant and it got blown up.
So I've obviously thought about the final play both a lot and not a lot. And it was weird. Like, you know how people say like a lot, like, oh, it's like watching a car crash in slow motion. It really was like that, especially because of the timeout. And I saw
in the hit was a literal car crash. Yeah.
I saw Chris Long make this point on his podcast. Like, it is amazing that they like not only so somebody was like, this is a good idea. And somebody else was like, I agree with you. This is a good idea. Right. And so they went and did it. And then the timeout happens. And then they double down. Like, the first person is like, I maintain this is a good idea. And the other person's like, I'm still with you. This is a good idea. You know what I'm saying? Like, maybe I'm okay with it if it's like, look, we got to run one thing. Nobody has any timeouts. We're just going off the play clock. We're trying to catch them off guard. But, like, if they're calling a timeout, like, they're clearly prepared. Again, not that it's, like, a flawless play to begin with. But, like, it somehow was more embarrassing than the final play last year. You know, I didn't like, and that, like, some people argued that. Some people were like, I could kind of understand the quarterback draw. And, like, you know, if you were like a lawyer and your job was to defend the QB draw, you could do it. You know what I mean? Like, maybe you wouldn't feel great about it, but
it's
could.
It's a tough job, but you could do it for sure.
Right. Yeah. There's nothing here. And the, like, irony or whatever is like, that could be Zeke's last play as a, as a Cowboy. It's like, and it's so funny that not only did it not work, but that Zeke gets blasted. I mean, like, just all, like, I actually really respect the Niners for not, like, being soft in that moment. You know what I mean? Like, just, like, ending it.
They're, and like, then, put pressure on it. Putting pressure on it.
Yeah, and then,
it.
Like, okay, season's on the line. We're going to throw it to Kevontae Turpin. And that, like, this is the catalyst, right? This is all we needed was Zeke to block and give us a moment for Kevontae Turpin. I mean, I don't know, man. The end was so embarrassing, like the Dalton Schultz thing, like twice, not getting out of bounds, not getting your feet down. And a moment, I've said this a lot, that Dak is not catching enough heat for is almost taking that safety. Like, dude, how do you get anywhere near a position to almost take a safety like that? Like, it's, and that's what causes me to doubt Dak now, is like, there's a lot of evidence of him kind of shrinking in these big moments. And like, it's super lame to say like, oh, he comes up small in big moments. But like, that's kind of true at this point.
Yeah, no, it is interesting because it's true, but it does sound like the like hot take,
right?
Shock jock.
And that's why I feel dumb saying it.
Tell him to win. Do it again.
But it is true, right? Like, we've seen that, like, and you can say, like, you know, he's 0-3 in the divisional round. And so it's kind of stupid for a dude who's played seven seasons to make his career about three games, right? But like, those are three really important games.
The Rodgers game. Absurd. If Jared Cook doesn't make one of the best catches ever.
Or if Rodgers fumbles off of Jeff Heath, right? Like, and that's the thing. Like, I mean, I don't know. Like, you can if and a lot of things when it comes to the Cowboys, but you could do that with anybody, right? Like, you could say, like, if this or if that, whatever. And so they just find a way to do this amazingly in the most, like, polarizing way possible, to where people are going to, like, and what's frustrating, and I was going to say you've been there. You haven't been there. Like, you haven't earned the crud that I've earned or walked through it the way I'm Andy Dufresne in the tunnel. I mean, you're red. You got out, like, you know, easily. But like, this off, like I said, there's nowhere to run. There's nowhere to run if you defend Dak this offseason, right? Like, how can you? You know, because it does sound like hot take, sport jock, whatever. But like, people can be like, look how you played with the season on the line. Like, you cannot explain this away in any way, shape, or form. And that is uncharted territory for Dak. Like, there's always been some sort of shield for him. There isn't anymore.
That's why you got to use my shield, which was just, he didn't have a good game. Look at the game before. He was good the game before. And that's all you got.
This is the last thing I'll say. We'll get out of here. This brought you joy, I know, but when the Eagles blasted the Giants on Saturday night, I thought it was so funny how there was so much collateral damage for the Vikings. Right, like, even their season's over, but like, Twitter is ablaze with like, how bad were the Vikings? Like, the Vikings should fire Ed Donatelle again. And it's like, the Giants are the team getting waxed here. Like, why are we throwing shade at the Vikings right now?
The Daily Norseman was like, we're not gonna call them frauds. It's like, you don't. You don't have to. You lost to them, so.
I think that's dumb.
Both of those teams sucked. Both of those teams were terrible.
The only time I really felt like the Vikings were frauds, just I'll tell you, was when they complained about the cleat stuff. Like, that was super loser energy. Like, that was really, really, really weak.
The biggest loser energy.
Right.
Especially when their training staff had, like, come out and said, like, the dudes just want to wear their fancy cleats and they don't want to, like, actually. Like, we told him throughout the week. Kevin O'Connell after the game was like,
Guys got to wear the right cleats. They're professionals.
It's like, that's what McCarthy said after the game in Green Bay. Well, like same sort of thing. But anyway, in a similar way, the fact that the Cowboys lost now, like, you know, nobody really cares about the Bucs. Like the moment Tom Brady officially leaves the Bucs return to like pure NFL insignificance.
Yes.
You know what I mean? But like the Cowboys losing was like, oh, you mean the 8 and 9 Bucs? You know, like when the week leading up to Dallas Tampa was like, I don't know, man. You know, like, you know what I'm saying?
There
like,
were a lot of people who said the, I don't pick against Brady.
Right.
And, I don't pick against Brady.
But now, because the Cowboys lost to the Niners, it's like, oh, that win you're bragging about, Justice, over the 8 and 9 Bucs. You know, it's funny how, like, something that a team has nothing to do with can, like, completely change their own narrative. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. if the Niners wax the Eagles this week, it will be like, oh, hey, you know, Dallas only lost to them by a touchdown, you know, and it took, like, they were in it on the final play, the Zeke snap. You know what I mean? Like, it's just... it's dumb and it's stupid and it's beautiful and I hate everything. Justice, last time you were on, when you left, I asked you what you were watching on Netflix. So I will ask you that again. Doesn't have to be Netflix. Give us something to, I have time now. So, you've had some time for a few weeks. Couldn't get it done against Dan Campbell. See, like, I think that's a cope that fans use. Like now you need Dan Quinn to be really good to reverse justify why the Packers lost.
Justify why the Packers lost.
But
is he gonna get the Broncos job? I think it's gonna end up.
You mean Dan Quinn now?
Yeah, Dan Quinn.
Maybe. I hope Sean Payton takes the job, so I don't have to deal with this crap.
I don't think he's gonna take the job. I don't think he's gonna get it.
Give us something to watch: Netflix, Disney Plus, Hulu, Peacock, whatever you want.
So last time I think I gave you guys Coherence, which is a good movie. Mm-hmm. So I'll go with another one. 10 Cloverfield Lane. It's a Cloverfield movie, but it's not a Cloverfield movie. You don't
have to
watch.
That's the one with the camera like shook, right? Cloverfield?
Yeah. But this one is like, it's like during the same timeline, but it has nothing to do with the other Cloverfield movies until like the last 10 minutes. So you don't have to watch anything else. Apparently you can watch it for free on Pluto TV. So there you go.
That's not an ad. That's just... you know, literally it's where not, you can access it.
It's not an ad. It's what showed up on the Google. So
Justice Mosqueda on Twitter at Jew Mosque. Thank you so much for joining us and hopefully talking people down. We love you. And I hope you have something delicious for dinner.
I hope so, too. Yeah, anytime.
Want to give a big time shout out, big time thank you to Justice Mosqueda for joining us. It was a very interesting conversation. Obviously, a lot of fun. Justice is just super cool, and I really enjoyed chatting with him and talking with him about anything, but obviously specifically about the NFL and football and stuff. And you can follow Justice on Twitter at JUMOSQ. It's kind of hard to say out loud. JUMOSQ. That is his Twitter handle. You will not regret it. We're going to make it through. All right. I know the first week is the hardest. All right. The first week is tough, and I'm not going to lie to you. It will be very tough for the next 2 weeks if the Eagles win the NFC. If the Eagles are going to the Super Bowl, it's going to be tough. All right. It's going to be tough, but we will make it through. We will thrive. We will power through, whatever you want to call it. We will do all of that together. On the subject, by the way, of the NFC title game, we will have a, well, it won't be a post game, but it will effectively be a post game show that we do live this Sunday after the AFC Championship game, because that game is second. Once we know the two teams competing in the Super Bowl, we will have a live show on the Blog and the Boys YouTube channel. You can join me there. We might have some BTB staffers pop in. We'll talk about the two teams, et cetera, because we all love football. And so I will be doing that for, you know, Conference Championship Sunday, as well as obviously Super Bowl Sunday. So you can watch that live. If you don't watch it live, you can, of course, watch it after the fact on the Blog and the Boys YouTube channel, or listen right here on the Blog and the Boys Podcast Network. I love you all. I really do. All right. We're going to make it through this thing. I promise. I hope you have the best day ever. You know why? Because you deserve it. We will see you mañana, my friends. As always, go Cowboys and peace out.